Buddy Franklin's going to bounce to his feet. He's 50 metres out. Some magic from Buddy. Takes him on. Buddy runs the 50. The kick's on its way. Oh! He has kicked a goal. Buddy has kicked a goal. The $10 million man has delivered.
There's been a lot of conversation ever since it came to pass that Franklin was headed north and going to be wearing the red and white and the Sydney Swans. There has been a lot of conversation. Sure, John Longmire gets sick and tired of being asked questions about Lance Franklin, the Sydney coach. Joins us. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, boys.
Not going to ask you any more questions about the way that Lance Franklin's going to undermine the culture of the Sydney Football Club or any of that. I'm sure everybody loves having him as part of it now. But when the coach is sitting up in the box, a man who kicked a lot of goals himself as an outstanding key position player, when he kicks goals like those two in particular that he kicked on the weekend, do you kind of just sit back and look at Johnny Blakey or a few of the other, the ruck whisperer, and go, geez, did you just see that?
It'd be fair to say, Murray, that I wouldn't have kicked many from 70. It was a fantastic effort. I mean, the good thing was for the whole game, I think it wasn't until halfway through the third, I think, that he kicked his first for the game. He'd been playing well, but at that point, we were a couple of goals up, so we'd been doing a bit right. But Port Adelaide obviously lifted their quality side, and to have him do what he did in the second half was critical to our win. There's no doubt about that.
And good morning. It's Andrew Gaze here, John. Congratulations on your recent form. Fantastic winning streak. But you've got a little bit of an issue because you've got Daniel Hannavery who's come up and he's going to be out for quite some time. Is Tommy Mitchell, I believe he had 750,000 possessions in the last couple of weeks, is he the likely replacement? Is he going to get an opportunity now?
Not yet, Gazi, because he's been injured.
There you go.
He was playing pretty well in our reserves, obviously, but missed last week, hurt his ankle, and will miss again this week. So,
that's a setback.
He's doing a lot right, but unfortunately he's been injured the last couple of weeks, so we're hoping to get him back to be able to play probably in our reserves next week, getting back on the track, which would be good.
And Hannavery, the loss of him, he's been very, very good.
Yeah, he has. He had a quiet couple of weeks at the start of the season, but ever since then, I think he's been back to the form he was last year. He's been fantastic for us. He's hard and runs really hard. So, yeah, we'll miss him. But we've been able to blood a few other midfielders and they've been going along pretty well so far. So they'll just get a bit more responsibility now.
Mm. John, Tomo here, mate. Thanks for joining us. It must have been a bit bittersweet on the weekend with Kurt Tippett obviously not in the team after having the two Twin Towers in that forward line going so well together. To still have show the depth of your forward line. I mean, Adam Good's back in great form. No doubt Sam Reed playing a major part and what Lance Franklin does as well. I mean, you're showing with these injuries that depth is just amazing and you can just change the shape and the way it looks.
Yeah, we like to have different looks in our forward line and make sure that whilst Lance and Kurt have been playing really well for us, obviously with Kurt being out of the team and we need to be mindful that we need to have other options in our forward line. I think we've been averaging 9 goal kickers a game, which has been good to be able to add some variety into our attack. It's so critical that it's not just one-dimensional when we go forward. We need to add other areas, and I think other players have been pretty good that way.
John, which of your midfielders, just getting back to your midfield, which of your midfielders gets tagged the most?
Oh, probably changes, Murray, from week to week, whether it's Hannah's got tagged last week or it might be a Josh Kennedy or a Kieran Jack or a Jared McVeigh. It probably changes a little bit each week, which is a good thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Just means that we've got some depth through there, and if one bloke finding it a bit hard in any given day, that someone else has got to stand up.
Watching 360 last night, and they gave an overview of the run home of most of the teams. You guys look, on paper at the very least, look like you have a pretty good run home. Do you get to a point, given that you've been on this win streak, you're now back in the top four, do you start to look at list management and how you're going to get the guys absolutely cherry ripe come the finals?
Not at all, Casey. You just look at winning.
Mm.
If you look at the ladder, it's just so tight. And
yep.
You just haven't got that luxury. And we need to make sure we put our best team on the park every week to give ourselves the best chance of winning. And that's all we're thinking about at the moment. I mean, we're We're not even qualified for a finals berth yet, so we've sort of got to make sure we try and win every week, and that's what we try and set ourselves to do.
John, we talk a lot about down here about ANZ Stadium and the difference in the ground and the football that's played there compared to the SCG. I mean, just seeing the crowd that was there against Port Adelaide and the atmosphere and the new stands and all the rest of it, just from a footballing point of view.
Be honest, mean,
seriously.
Surely
the club just wants to play at the SCG every single week.
Come on.
Well, the atmosphere was fantastic last week. You can't deny that. 41,000, the biggest crowd we've had in 20 years. So it was a great afternoon of the footy. It was fantastic. We played against Hawthorn out at ANZ a few weeks earlier, and I thought that was a pretty good game as well. I mean, it was seesawing right up until the last few minutes. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the club will do what's right for us. And those contracts have been negotiated over the next probably 6 months, and we'll work through that. But, I mean, we'll play anyway. Doesn't really matter.
Hey, John, why do you like Jeremy Laidlaw?
Well, I just think he's added a real extra dimension to our back line. We've lost, obviously, Andreas Everett at the end of last year, and we needed to make sure we had a player that could fit into a back six and play a role for us every week. And he's been able to do it. He's just come into the team and just contributed every week and just done his job. And, he's been really good. And he's a courageous player and has fitted in with our other players in our defensive back six. So we're really pleased with how he's going.
And Tomo, before you came on, was talking about runners and the rule changes that the AFL's brought in. You know, no runner allowed to be inside 50 when there's a stoppage, and around the rest of the ground, no runner allowed to be within 25 metres of a stoppage, and no runner allowed to coach out on the ground.
You reckon they're trying to get rid of runners?
I think, how much of a difference, honestly, how much of a difference will it make to your capacity to do your job on game day?
Well, Nick Davis is our runner, and he's that slow. It takes him a week to get out there anyway. So, look, I just think the whole thing's overblown. I mean, I don't think that anyone notices the runners in the crowd that go and watch a game. I just don't think it's that big an issue, to be honest.
Gee, I noticed Nigel Lappin in the Carlton game. I can tell you, I was 150 metres away, but I saw him.
Yeah, there you go. There's nine games a weekend. I mean, it doesn't happen too often, and I just think we don't have to worry about it too much, not stress about it. We get a bit carried away with it, to be honest.
So it won't have a dramatic... Even, I mean, now that these rules are coming in, they have come in, it's not going to make that much difference to your capacity to get your job done?
Oh, it might. And what I'm saying is that I just think it's a bit of a reaction to... You know, one or two things. I don't think we need to go down that path and worry about it too much. We've already got rid of one runner, and if we're heading down the path of getting rid of runners all together, we don't have a timeout. I just wouldn't support that at all.
And John, just are you able to give us an understanding of how many? Just when we see players running off the ground all the time, how many of those, just roughly, obviously, would be a coach calling through the runner, or how many are just now with the way your structure and process is set up to the players coming off when they're ready for the break?
It's probably a mixture, Tomo. It's a mixture of both. Sometimes we do it through the runner to be able to get the rotations done, and sometimes the players do it. They might have certain jobs. They might have certain matchups that they like to come on and off. Sometimes you get dictated to by the opposition, so there's things you can't control out of that. So probably it's a bit of a mixture each week.
We'll let you go. Just off the SMS, Johnny, a question from one of our listeners, Daz, down there in Geelong. You can probably guess where this is going. With a little bit of room in the salary cap, are you, what chance of Nathan Fife and Jeremy Cameron joining Sydney next year, mate?
Right, Barry. I'll leave that alone.
Good luck on Friday night. Thanks for joining us.
Good on you. Thanks, guys.
John Lomboy, coach of the Swans, joining us.